Cohen, would you please come join me? This morning, we're going to spend all of our attention here around this table. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11 and follow along as I read beginning in verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11 and 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, and after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is written in your word, and for us today, the significance, the great value of our time here around this table. It reminds us of your great love for us. We've recently celebrated the birth of your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. In just a few short months, we will celebrate the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. And not for us only, but for the whole world. That any can respond to your grace by faith in his finished work. We celebrate the extent of your love for us. And as we fellowship together around this table, we're reminded of our connection to one another as well. So, Father, open our hearts up and teach us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we begin this morning, let me just say that what we have here is available to all as believers. Our communion is open to those who believe. It's not closed by membership, not closed by baptism, simply to those who believe. Share it with us, please. This is a time when we include the children. In part because by including the children, we can also include some of the adults who are otherwise busy with our children. But it also opens up questions. Hopefully on the ride home today or sometime during the week, somebody will say, "Why did we do that? Why did the pastor take those little crackers and pass them around? And what's the deal with those little cups?" That's okay. That's why we do this, so that I'll ask those questions. And some of them I will answer to your satisfaction, but they won't understand quite. That's okay. That's why your mom and dad, that's why your grandpa and grandma, you can explain it so they can understand. This is a time when we remember the sacrifice for our salvation. It's offered freely, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But it cost God greatly. In giving his Son, and his Son also God giving his life for us, represented in these elements, but offered to you and me freely. The portion of scripture that we read from 1 Corinthians, those of you who've been with us a while, you know, not too awfully long ago, we studied that. And because the church at Corinth struggled, Paul had to teach them again. They managed to ruin this table and its meaning. So Paul taught them again. But that was to our advantage. When we read that entire passage, one of the things that I feel needs to be included is this idea from Psalm 139, where we take it as an opportunity as we approach this table to confess it. It's a part of what's happening in Psalm 139 when David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." David understood, and we should understand even better, that God has placed himself within us in the person of his Holy Spirit. Now for David, it was unique. In the Old Testament, not all believers had the Holy Spirit right there with them. But David did, and he knew it. And so he would ask, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." He wasn't talking about that organ beating in the middle of his chest, and he wasn't talking about his emotions, which is what we think of sometimes when we think of the heart. He was talking about his mind. Know my thoughts. Know what's happening inside of me. He includes anxious thoughts. Ever worry? Ever get concerned about what's coming? Or how is that going to play out in my life, or in her life, or his life? David says, "Know those things. I know you know those things. Search them out within me." And here is this request: "See if there be any hurtful way. Lead me in the everlasting way." That word "way," little three-letter English word, it's a little three-letter Hebrew word that means not only the path, but the destination. You say, "Well, of course it does. Why would I get on a path if I wasn't interested in where it would lead?" Well, I'm one of those people who's far more interested in where something goes than he is about the path to get there. When I'm going somewhere, I want to get there just as quickly and painlessly and easily as possible. I'm one of those that likes to get on the interstate, set the cruise control to where I think I can move safely. You'll edit that out later. Because all I want to do is get there. But David says, and he uses this word because he says, "I'm concerned not only about where I'm headed, but how I'm getting there. See if there be any hurtful way." As I'm moving, and this is a man who, God says, his heart is directed toward him, God. But he's so sensitive, saying, "See if there be any hurtful way in me. If there's my goal may be right, the end may be right, the make sure the way justifies that as well. And lead me in an everlasting way. Again, not just to everlasting life, but as I'm living now, in an everlasting way. Living in light of eternity. Living with eternity in view. Make sure that's a part of who I am. So as we pause here on this table, let's pray. Heavenly Father, search me. Know my heart. See if there be any anxious thoughts. Keep me from worry, that sin. I might be concerned, but let me rest in who you are and that you are in control. See if there be any hurtful way in me. I know my intentions. I know my desires, but sometimes I trip over myself and I don't get it right. And Father, as I'm on my way to you, may I live in such a way that would bring others with. So Father, I invite you through your Holy Spirit to search me. And if there is sin that I've ignored, sin that I've excused, sin that I'm just not ready to deal with, anything that separates me from you, shine a bright light on it. Help me to see what's wrong, why it's wrong, and confess it, agree with you that it shouldn't be a part of my life, that it needs to be gone. As I repent, turn from it, and determine not to fall in that same trap again. May my life reflect the fact of your presence within me in the person of your Holy Spirit. And with clean, forgiven hands, take the bread, take the cup, and worship you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As Jesus ate that last meal, the night in which he was betrayed, he would be arrested, he ate that last meal with them. They were Jews. They were in Jerusalem. They were sharing Passover. Those of you who like details, you maybe have read that and thought, well, wait a minute, it's actually a day early. Because Jesus will be the Passover lamb and he's not dying until tomorrow. But that's okay because they were from out of town. They didn't normally live in Jerusalem and they regularly celebrated Passover a day early because they didn't want to be late. But they're sharing a Passover meal. And there's a lot of interest in that Passover meal. A lot of churches like to recreate the Passover meal and all of the significance of it. And that would be interesting. But we're not Jewish. There were two elements out of that whole meal that Jesus said, take notice of these and make them a part of your regular practice. So that some churches do this every week. Some do it every month, we do it every quarter. It's important to do it regularly, to be reminded what was going through the mind of Jesus on that night and what he wants to regularly remind us of. Now, as I said, the church in Corinth had managed to ruin it. So Paul reteaches them. He says, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Remember, Paul didn't follow Jesus during his earthly ministry. But later, Paul, through special revelation, was given this information that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread and broke it. Now, he would have done that several different times during the meal. Those who have studied Passover, and there was significance with each, but this time, he took the bread and broke it and gave it new significance. He said, this is my body, which is for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, that night as Jesus gathered around the table with his disciples, he took one of those loaves of bread and he broke it. And this time, instead of speaking of the Passover and the Passover lamb, he said, this is my body. From now on, when you do this, you will think of me and my sacrifice, my body broken for you. Jesus, thank you for being willing to make that sacrifice. Giving your body up for us. Sinless, without defect, the true Lamb of God for our sins. Thank you. Thank you for your gift. Thank you for this very special illustration. We thank you in your name. Amen. Jesus took the bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then Jesus took a cup. Now there would have been several different times during the Passover meal that Jesus would have picked up a cup and reminded them of an aspect of the Exodus and the beginnings of Israel as they left Egypt. But this time, Paul tells us, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Now we have the final sacrifice, the final Passover lamb, the last blood to be shed for sin. He says, this is a new covenant. We're moving into a new relationship with God. Before, it was the blood of animals simply rolling back sin, waiting for the final sacrifice, for the very blood of God himself. That could never be offered before that night. Only now can we remember that special, unique gift of Jesus' blood. The very meaning of life itself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving the world so much that you would give your Son. And in that gift, he would shed his blood. From Genesis 3, we have known that the wages of sin is death. Death came because Adam sinned. We will die because we have sinned. But Jesus' death, the shedding of his blood, not for his sin, but for ours, pays the penalty. So that while we will still bear the consequence of death, it will move us into what is really life. We now have a new covenant, a new relationship. We don't have to regularly offer the blood of animals, but a final sacrifice was made for us so that the debt has truly been paid, past, present, and future. And Jesus, you chose to make that sacrifice. You chose to be that sacrifice. Even in the agony of the cross, feeling the separation of yourself from the Heavenly Father because of all of that sin just upon you. You did not turn away. You did not refuse the opportunity, but chose to die, shedding your blood for our sins. So that's the wages of sin is death, but your gift is eternal life. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Jesus took a cup and gave it to his disciples. Jesus said of this cup, "It is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." His blood shed freedom for us. Recall it. Jesus said, as often as you do this, eat the bread, drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. At the heart of the gospel is the fact that God loves us and Jesus died for us. The resurrection is the reason he says he is God's Son, our Savior. That is significant, because he died for us. We need to get the gospel right. We're going to share good news to the world, as we say. Get the gospel right. I loved you. I died for you. Let the world know I died for them too. And every time you do this, you're reminded of that truth. Let's stand together and sing a song of fellowship. Accepted by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, cost you dearly. That Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world, so that any who might turn to him will find salvation. What a great gift. And it is our responsibility to share that gift with others. So as we leave here this morning, as we have been reminded again of our responsibility, may we live our lives in such a way that we reflect you to others. May we serve you this week. We pray in Jesus' name.